Hey everyone, welcome to the Tuya Christian Fellowship Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to give online, see upcoming events, or view our service times, please visit our website at tcf.church.
Amen. I love this time of year. I love fall, but one of the things I love most about this time of the year is that we're ending a year and starting a new one. In just a few weeks, we're going to move from 2019 into 2020, into 2020. And I personally love this time of year. I love doing two things. I love looking back and seeing what God has done in my life. And then I love looking forward to see what He wants to do and what He's stirring. Now, let me just say something to encourage you. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've done it in a while, but you should take some time and look back. Take some time and look back in your life, because it seems like in my life, it's easy, it's clearer and easier to see what God has done in my life when I look back. Then it encourages me and it strengthens me as I turn and as I look forward. Well, we're getting ready to end the year, of course, 2019, but we're not only ending a year, we're ending a decade. Okay, we're getting ready to move into a new decade, and it just stirs something in me. I don't know what it is. I know it's God. It just stirs something in me, and we're going to start a new series this morning called 2020 Vision. Now, I love the metaphor 2020. Of course, I wear glasses, and I always think about if you have 2020 vision, that means you can see really clearly. Well, I'm going to take some time in the next few weeks and talk to you about God's vision for us as a church, plus God's vision for you and for your family, and to be able to see it clearly. So before we start looking forward, let's take a minute and look back, okay? And this is going to help some of you. This is going to shock some of you. This is going to wake some of you up, okay? The year 2000 was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Okay, I heard somebody say the other day, do you think the 80s were 20 years ago? Yeah. Okay, well, the 80s weren't 20 years ago. Okay, 1990 was 30 years ago. 30. Man, I was thin and I had hair. Amen? In 1990. And we won't go any back further than this because it's too painful, okay? 1980 was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I just got out of Bible school in 1979. It was 40 years ago. Now, come back with me, if you would. Don't get stuck in 1980, okay? Come back with me to the year 2010, which was 10 years ago. We've just finished that decade. From 2010 to 2020, we've just come through a decade. And I'd like to ask you a question. Are you where you thought you would be today, 10 years ago? Did you even give any thought to where you would be 10 years ago? Did any of the dreams that you had 10 years ago, have any of those come to pass? Or have you just kind of meandered through the last 10 years? And I know if you're just like me, I've had good things happen the last 10 years. I've had tragedy the last 10 years. And I know many of you have experienced the same thing. Let me talk to you this morning about vision. A vision from God for yourself, for your family, and for our church. Let me give you a definition for the word vision. First off, it's a dream. It's a dream. A dream for something you want to happen in your life. The next thing it means is something seen. Now, not seen with your physical eyes, but seen with your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart. Okay, something seen. Now, that's a good definition for faith. Okay, what does the Bible say about faith? Well, it says it's the evidence of things not seen. See, we're believing God as a family that Ashley, our daughter, is going to have a baby. She does not have that baby yet, but we see it in our heart. I can hear the laughter of her children in her home. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you see, I see it by faith before it becomes a reality. That's what 2020 vision is. See, listen, the clearer you see your dream, the clearer you see your vision, the more it's going to come to pass in your life. The third thing vision means, and I love this, is to conceive. To conceive. Now, of course, we know what that means. That means like a mom, a woman having a baby, and she conceives that child. Listen, God has birthed some things on the inside of you. God has conceived some things on the inside of you that He wants to bring to pass in your life. And I want to help you see those things in the coming weeks. And I want to help you bring those things out of the realm of faith into the realm of reality in three areas: your personal life, your family life, and your church life. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no dream, the people perish. Where there's no conception of a dream, the people perish. But he that keeps the law is happy as he. Now, that's King James. That's old school. Let's jump forward and read New King James. It says, where there's no revelation or dream or conception, the people cast off restraint. Now, I think this is really cool. It says, if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a vision, that you cast off restraint. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means everybody does their own thing. It means if you have a family of four, we're all pulling in a different direction. It means if you're a church, that we're all pulling in a different direction. And when you all pull in a different direction, you know where you go? Well, you go nowhere. You go nowhere. So if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a dream, if something isn't conceived in your heart, you tend to cast off restraint, and it brings confusion as a family, even in your own life. Listen, if you're not pulling in God's direction, you're not going anywhere. Amen? Then in your family, if we're all pulling in a different direction, you know what Psalm says? Psalm says the way of a man seems right to himself. See, everybody will tell you, well, I'm doing the right thing. A way of a man seems right to himself, but the end thereof is death. Now, what am I saying? All I'm saying is you got to recognize, hey, as an individual, I want to be pulling God's direction. As a family, I want us all working the same direction. As a church, we got to all be pulling the same direction. And in the future, these few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about what we're doing as a church. Listen, Psalms 133, verse 1, listen to this. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Same thing, vision, a dream. What does that mean? What does unity mean? It means we're pulling the same direction. Then the verses right below that talk about the anointing. Now, what's the anointing? Well, the anointing is the manifest presence of God. See, when we gather and we sing, we just got through doing that. When we gather and we sing, the Bible says, God Himself said that He inhabits or He dwells in our praise. That's what the anointing is. You ever listen to a good song in the car, going down the highway, a good Christian song, and all of a sudden you get all teary-eyed, you get all tingly? Have you ever done that? Yeah, that's the anointing. Okay, that's the presence of God. And you can do it in your car, you can do it in the kitchen, you can do it in the bathtub. Any you can be praying, you can be singing, and God will show up. Okay, unity causes God to show up. He shows up. And He begins to do what? Well, He begins to do miracles. Let me read you another verse. This is Habakkuk, Old Testament. Don't you love that? Habakkuk. I like that. 2:2. Listen to what it says. It says, the Lord answered to me, and He said, write the vision. There it is, vision, dream. Write the dream. Make it plain on tablets. You can do paper or an iPad. Hey, an iPad's a tablet. I just had a revelation. Man, I mean, it's just right here, right now, I'm just having one. My gosh, that's pretty good. All right, I'm happy with myself right now. Man, if I don't preach nothing else, it's like, man, write the vision and make it plain on your iPad that those who read it would run with it. Now, we do this every January. If you've been to church here very long, what do? Well, we hand out cards, and we encourage you to write down your vision, to write down your dream, to write down what's stirring on the inside of you, to write down what you'd like to see happen in your life. What have we found out? Well, we found out that 80% of people have no dreams. that have no goals. Their life is a grave with both ends kicked out. Wednesday's hump day, TGIF, they live for the weekend, and they start again on Monday. 80% of people live that way. Now, 20% do have dreams. Listen, if you've got a dream, you're already in the top 20%. Now, every January, I give you a chance to write it down. And if you've written down your dreams, you're already in the top 10%. Isn't that cool? Vicki, you and I are in the top 10%, amen? Because we got them written down. Then 5% review them. Did you know Habakkuk, what does it say? It says, write it down, make it plain, read it, review it, and run with it. Hey, that's in the Bible. Isn't that, man, that's pretty good. All right, listen to this. Big dreams, big life. Little dreams, little life. Excuse me. No dreams, no life. Let me read it to you again. Big dreams, big life. Little dreams, little life. No dreams, no life. In the last few months, I was having coffee with a young man, and we were talking about dreams. We were talking about visions. We were talking about God's plans for our life. And he asked me a question. He said, do the promises of God have an expiration date? Do the promises of God have an expiration date? And it made me think about, you know, the ketchup and salad dressing in my fridge, right? Like that. Now let me tell you something. I've never read an expiration date in the fridge in my life. Okay, if it smells good and it's not lumpy, I eat it. Okay? Okay, even if it doesn't smell good and is lumpy, I eat it, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter to me, right? I'm not one of those people that checks expiration dates. Now, you may be, and that's okay, but that's just something. Now, honestly, nothing in our refrigerator is there long enough to expire anyway, right? When we buy ketchup, we go through that stuff, okay? At my house, I'm the condiment king, okay? You know what condiments are? I got to get that right, okay? I don't want to blunder right here in church, okay? Yeah, ketchup, A1 sauce, Tabasco, right, all that stuff. Okay, so this young man asked me, he said, hey, is there an expiration date on God's promises? Now, I want to read to you. I'm going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 to the beginning, and I want to read you a little part of a story. The Bible says in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And that he created man in his image. You've been created in God's image, by the way. And he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's you and I. Well, we know then he took a rib, and he made Eve, and we've never recovered from the surgery yet, correct? Amen. We've never recovered yet. So they're in the garden, and they're running around, and they're doing what God's called them to do. Then they have this encounter with this evil spirit, with the prince of darkness, Lucifer. And I want to read to you that a little bit of that story this morning. And I want you to see something really amazing. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Of course, this is talking about the devil. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't eat it, don't touch it, you'll die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you won't die. God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God, and you'll know good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to her eyes and a tree desirable to make her wise, she took the fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Men have been doing that ever since, trying to hide from God. The Lord called to Adam and he said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And I love this. God said, who told you you were naked? I love that. Who told you? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. The Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. We've been doing that ever since too. What? Passing the blame. Passing the blame. Amen. Passing the blame. It's somebody else's fault. It isn't my fault. Because you've done this, you're cursed more than all cattle and more than the beast, every beast of the field. On your belly you will go. He's talking to the devil. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. Now, don't miss this. Right here it is. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, the devil and the woman. Listen, ladies, Eve, the devil hates you. He hates you. He hates your beauty. He hates your calling. He hates your anointing. He hates you. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he'll bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. That last verse is a reference to Jesus. Okay, Adam and Eve have fallen into sin, and God in the Garden of Eden says, I'm going to send a man, and that man, devil, he's going to bruise your head. He's going to strip you of your power. Oh, you're going to bruise his heel. It's called the crucifixion. But he's going to be raised from the dead, and you're going to be defeated. Now, don't miss this. Here it is. Do the promises of God have an expiration date? The time between Adam and Jesus was 4,000 years. The time between Jesus and us today is 2,000 years. So when God said, I'm going to send Jesus, it didn't happen for 4,000 years. The answer to the question is no, God's promises do not have an expiration date. Now, God gives promises two ways. Okay, one is through the Bible. Now, listen, the Bible is a lot of things. Okay, listen to this. The Bible is a book of life. It's a book of healing. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of business. Listen, whatever answers you're looking for, you can find them in the Bible. You can find, if you need help with your kids, it's in the Bible. If you need help with your marriage, it's in the Bible. If you need help in your business, it's in the Bible. If you need help with your money, it's in the Bible. But for today, it's a book of promises. Okay, it's a book of promises. Every time you read the Bible, you read the promises of God, and I just told you that those promises do not expire. They're good today, they're good tomorrow. How do you know? What does Hebrews 13:8 says? It says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now don't miss this. Adam and Eve blew it. They blew it big time. But God's promises were still in effect. Don't miss this. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. It doesn't matter how dark or deep the hole is you've gotten yourself into. I heard not very long ago that everybody has three lives. Everybody has a public life, a private life, and a secret life. A public life, a private life, and a secret life. Listen, it doesn't matter how bad or how dark or how unholy your secret life is, God's promises are still good. They're still good for you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. God's promises, God's vision, God's dream is still good. Whatever he's placed in your heart is still good. Now go back with me to 1999. If you're old enough to remember 1999, there was one thing going on, and it was called Y2K. If you're old enough, you remember, right? When they made computers, well, they didn't build them to go from 1999 to 2000. And so on December 31st at midnight, all the computers are going to melt down. And when they melt down, the traffic lights are going to quit working. The police aren't going to have any more power. People are going to flood into the streets with guns. There isn't going to be enough to eat. There isn't going to be any water. And there's going to be anarchy and chaos. Anybody in here, any of you bald-headed guys in here, remember that? Yeah. Yeah, I remember, okay, right? You remember sitting on your couch with your AR-15, ticking down, watching Dick Clark watching it tick down to December 31st at midnight and waiting for people to jump through your windows and get your stuff. Right, you remember? Okay. That the news was talking about it. Christian TV was talking about it. Every time you turn on Christian TV, but I'm glad I didn't say that. Those folks were sitting on Christian TV with that smile on their face saying, hey, pastors, you guys better get some barrels of water. You better get some barrels of rice and some barrels of beans, and you better get that stuff stored up in your fellowship hall. So when it turns 2,000, people are going to come and knock on your door in the community, and you're going to be able to feed them and clothe them and help them, and you're going to be able to give them Jesus. Well, whenever I would, and I could tell you their names, and you know who they are, and they're still on TV today. For some reason, I don't listen to them much anymore. And they use scripture, and they said, if you don't do that, you're a fool, but if you do it, you'll be smart. But here's what happened. You see, God gave Rusty Gray a vision, and he gave me a passion, and he gave me a dream for youth ministry. And in 1999, I could see in my heart what I wanted to happen. And now listen, and it didn't look like anything I'd ever seen before. It didn't look like any youth ministry I'd ever seen before. Listen, God began to stir that in my heart. So I'm hearing the guys on TV say, you need some rice and beans and water. But then God's speaking to me in my heart, and he's saying, hey, I want to reach the youth in Tulia. I want to reach the youth in Swisher County, and I want to do it in a way that it's never been done before, and would you be willing to do it? But then I'm hearing on TV, man, my gosh, we need to get some rice and some beans and some water. I went to pastors' meetings, where they talked about storing up rice and beans and water. And one guy said that he opened his shed and took his lawnmower out and was going to put rice and beans in his shed. I thought, man, I'll know where to get some when that happens, man. I was hearing that everywhere, except I wasn't hearing it from here. And God said, hey, do you want to do something with me, and you want to reach the kids in Swisher County? Now, let me just say this. If we had gone the bean and rice route, you know this building wouldn't be here, right? It wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. You know why? Because we'd have been the laughing stock of this community. And we would have had to have left. Because every time I'd go in the donut shop, you know what they'd say? Oh, there's the bean pastor. Pastor, you got any beans? Got any rice? Right? Isn't it true? Yeah, so we would have had to have packed our stuff up, and this building would have never been built, and we would have had to have left. But you see, God put something on the inside of me. Now, why are you talking about this, Pastor? Because he's put something on the inside of you. You see, he's given us a vision as a church, and he's given you a vision. So in 1999, we bought the building across the street, and we remodeled it, and we opened up Ground Zero. And we opened it in June of 99, and that was the worst time in the world to open it. Why was it the worst time? Because school had just ended and it was summer. And if you know anything about youth ministry, you don't start anything in the summer. You start when school starts. But we didn't know. We were rookies. We were green. We didn't know. So I can remember sitting across the street in that building that was an insurance office that belonged to Harry Reeves, and we remodeled it, and we were doing what God was telling us to do. And I can remember sitting on one of those bar stools that are over there the first Wednesday night, and I can remember sitting there with an ache in my stomach thinking, oh, I hope somebody shows up. Now, don't miss this. When God gives you a dream, you're going to have to fight the devil off of it. Because he's going to tell you, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to happen. You're a fool. And I can remember that first night having that ache in my gut thinking, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to show up. And we had about 30 kids. And I was so relieved because I was afraid we were going to have three. And three would have been, if three had come, that's what we would have done. But 30 came. Well, then we went through the summer and we grew to 50 and we grew to 75 and we grew to 100, and we've never looked back since, and that was in 1999. Now, don't miss this. We are the church we are today because of that dream. We are the church we are today with three services and Power Kids and Ground Zero because God gave us that dream and we were brave enough to follow it. Listen, nothing had ever been done in this county like Ground Zero. It hadn't been done then and it hadn't been done now. There's no building in this community except that one right across the street where you can pull up into the front of it and get out and go in, and it's youth ministry. That's never been done in this county before, ever. Now, are there other youth ministries? Yes, I want to make myself very clear. Thank God for the other churches and the other youth ministries in this town, and I pray for them every week, and here's what I pray. God, fill up every youth ministry in this town. Listen, on Wednesday night, I want every youth ministry in this town full. You know why? Because if our youth ministries are full, it's going to change kids, which will change our schools, which will change our culture, which will change our community. So I want every youth ministry in this town to succeed. But listen, the dream that God gave me, the dream that you bought onto, it had never been done like that before. Listen, when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a vision, when God bursts something in you, it's probably not going to look like anything you've ever seen before. Listen to this. One idea from God can transform your life. It only takes one idea. Listen, Ground Zero changed my life. It's changed this church. It's changed this city. It's changed this city. Now, let me close with this. If I could just get you to understand, your dreams matter. The devil wants to abort your dreams, and he wants you to put them away. Your dreams matter. Parents, the dreams you have for your kids matter. Listen, if I could just get you to understand the decisions you're making today. Listen, we made a decision two decades ago. Two decades ago, we planted a seed in the ground. And now 20 years later, we're pulling the fruit off that tree. What trees are you planting today? What decisions are you making today that 20 years from now? How about your marriage, your parenting? How about work? How about church? What seeds are you growing? Amen? Amen. Y'all stand up. Let me pray for you. You're not going to want to miss the next 4 weeks. I just scratched the surface. Father God, thank you for your dreams, your visions, your plans, your purposes that you have for us individually, you have for our families, you have for our church. Father God, I never get tired of watching you change people's lives. I never get tired of watching you change teenagers' lives. Father, I never get tired of going to men's retreat and watching you change men's lives. Father God, would you stir in our hearts what you've called us to do? And then, Father God, those dreams and those visions would come to pass in our life. And then, Father, we wouldn't have any small dreams. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. I love you. Go and be blessed. Have a great day.